Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. It's a day after the St. Paul Saints win the American Association Championship Series, and I'm joined by the guy who's happier than probably most to hear that statement. So, Kevin, tell us first of all about your thoughts of watching that final double play turn.
It's indescribable. It's like it really doesn't even feel like it's hit me yet that they have won the championship. But even the ninth inning, when Tanner Keith walks a couple guys, and I just realized that Sioux City is one long ball away from tying the game. I'm looking at the scoreboard, seeing that Kyle Wren had 8 home runs this year. I thought, please don't let him deposit one on the home run porch. But the Saints aren't a great double play turning team, as we talked about before the show. They turn the fields in the league, but he just had a hunch that once Wren's ground ball got to Allen, that they were going to find a way to turn a double play. And then, wow, as soon as it got turned, I mean, the place just went bananas. And the rest of them just kind of seems to be a blur right now.
One of the things we talked about a little bit is that it was pretty impressive to see 5,000 people at a playoff game for St. Paul. Not really used to that, but good to see the fans poured out for a championship opportunity like that.
Yeah, that is their largest playoff crowd since 1997. And I can explain the 1997 one. That year was a rainy year, much like this year was. And at Midway Stadium, they just didn't really have the tickets to honor available to honor rain checks. So what they did was they opened up the two playoff games for rain checks. So they managed to fill up the ballpark for the first two games in the 1997 divisional series. And before that, the only games they ever sold out for the playoffs were in 1983, when you flat out could not get a ticket during the season, and that was your only chance to get into the ballpark. So yeah, it was 5,353 last night, and you could hear every one of them.
It was pretty exciting just because 2004 was the last championship, and I know that there was, a lot of pressure on manager George Samis. You're in probably the premier team in the league. You got this great ballpark. You're got a great city to be in, and a lot of kind of grumbling around the league of how this guy hasn't won before. But I know he got that monkey off his back, and he looked pretty thrilled that that was the case.
Yeah, he was exhilarated last night. It felt great for all the guys, obviously, but yes, for George especially, because yeah, I mean, there were rumblings that, well, how come they haven't won a title in St. Paul, or they need a new manager? And God, no, they don't, because look how many times George had them to the brink through all his years in St. Paul. It's just a matter of just getting through the championship series, and so happy for him that he got the job done. I don't know if you folks can see it on social media or not, but not sure if it got posted, but there's a picture from 2004 with George's daughter Casey sitting on his shoulders. I think Casey was like 7, 8 years old at the time. And last night they tried it. They couldn't really do a sit on the shoulders thing, but they did another picture with Casey riding piggyback on George's back. So it tells you how long it was. Casey went from little girl to young lady now.
Well, that was they did a lot of great things out there. It was nice to see Vice President and GM Derek Shearer give a little talk to the fans, and George had a talk with the fans afterwards, and just everybody seemed to just get a lot of excitement out of what went on. But two guys I really was happy for were Eddie Medina and Mike Devine, who have the last 3 years watched somebody else holding the championship trophy. And this year finally got to be the ones doing so. So that was just an awesome moment to watch those two guys.
Yeah, I had a chance to say exactly that to Eddie Medina during the party at Birch's Bar, which is right across the street from the ballpark. I was really happy to, when you got those two guys that came so close and to finally get that ring. And then I know my interview with Eddie before the season began. That was his motivation. He wanted to get that ring, and they got it.
Well deserved for both those guys. You know, they haven't just been guys who hung around. They've been elite guys in this league, and finally got the opportunity to prove to have your name on something. It was kind of one of those things that you see in football where a guy isn't really considered an elite or one of the best type of players at any position until he's got a championship. And it's great to see a guy like Eddie Medina, who's had all these wins, set a career high this season for wins in a season. Mike Devine, who's had great seasons as a setup guy in this league, both them finally get their name on a trophy and are going to be widely recognized as two of the best the American Association's ever had. So I was two of the best guys you'll ever meet too. So I was super thrilled about how that worked out for them.
Yeah, you look at the adversity they both had to go through this year. Mike lost a month of his season with an oblique injury, and I guess we still don't really know the extent of what's going on with Eddie Medina's elbow that affected him for a good chunk of the year that he found a way to pitch through. So, yeah, I guess they literally did have to work through some stuff to finally get that ring.
Well, there are just a few moments of the game in particular that I want to talk about with you, Kevin. And the first one is that let's just talk about the bullpen situation. Last year, we watched the St. Paul Saints, who arguably had the best bullpen in the American Association. And for many, not even arguably, that was just the best bullpen that there was. And the bullpen just did not get the job in the championship series. And you move to this year, Sioux City looks like they have the best bullpen in the American Association. There were three guys on there that were all-stars. And you think, okay, well, if this gets into the sixth inning, these games are over with. And we even had a chance to talk with Matt Poverenko and Nate Durkin about that at the All-Star game. They were confident enough that these were five-inning games as far as they were concerned. And St. Paul figured out a way to get through those bullpens, and it was just ironic that, you know, they had trouble last year, and then they delivered that against somebody else this year.
Right. It was definitely a turning of the tables. And frankly, there was some talk. Maybe they pulled Taylor Jordan a little early because I think his pitches seem to have the Saints off balance most of the night. I know St. Paul likes to go up against the fastball pitchers, and Jordan was just... he kept him off balance all night with breaking stuff. I know he was getting to a jam in the sixth inning, but, you know, Mike Drew pointed this out to me when I talked to him last night. Taylor Jordan had some words for manager Steve Montgomery when he got pulled from the game last night. So, kind of interesting there. So, maybe there wasn't a ton of confidence in the bullpen. But, you know, we go back to what we talked about with Nate Durkin. He had not pitched the entire playoff season. I guess he was battling some arm issues. Finally gets in, and like we had talked about, the first batter that he faces hits at a 400 clip. So I'm looking at, okay, Gerken's in. Chancey Young, who has been the best hitter against the city all season, is at the plate. As a fan, I'm sitting there thinking, well, we're going to at least get one run here. Didn't think we're going to get four, but yeah, it was, after that, Poporeco comes in. He gives up a run on a double to John Silviano. It was a great matchup for Silviano. Silviano likes guys that throw hard, and he got around on one and lined it down the line for a double for an insurance run. So, yeah, the pen for Sioux City, I mean, he looked even in game two. Tyler Falwell, yeah, he went three innings, but he gave up the game-winning run on a Michael Lang double. So, yeah, as a manager, I guess you got to go with your best, but it just didn't pan out for Sioux City this time.
What I thought was interesting about the move, apart from the fact that Gerken had struggled against the first batter he faced in contests, was that seemed to be out of order for Sioux City. This was, you know, the sixth and seventh were Falwell's innings. And then it was Durkin, and then it was Bobrenko. And I was kind of surprised that Falwell wasn't the first guy out of the pen there at that point, because that was his job. And from what I understood in talking with Connor Ryan heading into the series was is that when they needed big outs and unproductive outs from the opponent, Falwell was the guy. Well, you have the bases loaded and one down. You don't even want to sacrifice fly in that spot. So why Falwell isn't the first guy out of the bullpen? I was a little confusing to me. Now, again, I don't know exactly what his physical health is and what manager Steve Montgomery is thinking about at that point, and I don't want to challenge what he's doing. It just was a little surprising to me because I thought Falwell would be your guy at that point.
And keep in mind, Falwell had just gone 3 innings, 2 games before, and I know those guys are rubber arms out there, but just wondered maybe if Falwell just wasn't physically up to coming in that early. So it's like you said, that stuff I guess Steve Montgomery and the Sioux City staff know, and we don't.
The other thing that really kind of leapt out at me was, boy, a lot of hype coming about Chesney Young starting the season. I remember Sean Aaronson talking about the fact this guy who's going to hit 330. I mean, this is a guy who's just going to rip this league apart. And he was hitting below 200 for a month and a half. I mean, this was a guy who was really struggling. But boy, at the biggest moment of the season, he just turns on a fastball right off the bat and drills that for a grand slam and winds up being named by us as the American Association Championship Series MVP. I was just thrilled for that guy to see that he did not allow kind of a disappointing season to stand in his way and had the biggest moment possibly of the playoffs for the team.
I'd like to see the split of Chesney Young from, I would say, July 1st on, because, yeah, like you said, he was hitting around 136, and he managed to get his average up to around 250 by the time the season was over. And he was a solid presence in the bottom part of that lineup, and I just knew when it came to him being up in that situation, like I said earlier, I knew that at least he was gonna, he's a professional hitter, he knew he was gonna get a run in. He just had no idea it was gonna be four and that he would do it to the deepest part of the entire ballpark.
Just an absolutely amazing shot that this guy had. And I want to also, let's piggyback onto this too. As disappointing as the Sioux City Explorers bullpen had been, boy, that St. Paul Saints bullpen sure looked good. And one guy in particular that was, it kind of snuck up in the series was Karch Kowalczyk. This guy, whenever the team needed big outs, boy, he really came through. Probably, arguably, the best reliever in the entire playoffs for them. And I was just impressed with the performance that he had last night throughout the series. This guy was the real deal.
Right. You thought he was going to be the GOAT in Game 5 of the Fargo series when he allowed the 2-run homer to Leo Pena, but you could tell as the season went on that gradually George Samuels had more and more confidence in giving his 8th innings to Kowalczyk, which freed up a Mike Devine to bridge years the spot from the starter to Kowalczyk. So, Sam has had his bullpen set up very well out there, where Devine or Ken Frosch or Jordan Jess, in the case last night, were gonna bridge a gap from the starter to your setup guy with Kowalczyk in the 8th and Tanner Kiest in the 9th. So it wasn't as heralded of a bullpen as last year's, but it was a crew of guys that got the job done.
I mentioned to you a couple months ago that what I thought was interesting about the St. Paul Saints was that I thought this is like the 2018-19 version of the Kansas City T-Bones. It was those two teams had flipped roles for me, where last year it was the Saints who had made all of these roster moves as the season had gone along just to try to improve the team, and that led them to a championship series. Kansas City was that team this year, but last year it was the T-Bones who were the team that lost a bunch of guys to affiliate signings, and every time it seemed like Joe Calfapietra came up with guys to replace him with. This year was the same thing for the Saints, and they wound up winning a championship out of it. I thought, as much as I was impressed with the job that George did last year of building that team, this was had to be considered one of his top two or three best jobs ever, with how he 3/5 of his rotation was gone, Kevin, and it was another guy was kind of hanging on fumes with his elbow. It was just an amazing job he did with that team.
You know, I know he didn't have a script, obviously, but I mean, George Sanders hit on it just perfect in his address to the fans after the championship last night. You lost, arguably at that time, the player of the year, Max Murphy, to the Diamondbacks, but everybody else just stepped up, and the team didn't miss a beat on offense. And yeah, there was one, Eddie Medina was your only guy left from your opening night starting rotation. Everyone else were bullpen guys, but, you know, the guys accepted their roles as starters and got the job done. Jordan Jess, Ryan Zimmerman, Landon Beck. Who am I missing here?
Chris Lee,
yes. So, yeah, no complaints. Those guys just went in and got the job done. And, yeah, wow, just an amazing season.
You got to talk with guys after the championship game was over and down on the field there. What were comments that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, just, you know, at that point, it was just guys really didn't get to talk to too many. You know, too busy pouring champagne and celebrating. So, but yeah, I just think the guys were just on an all-time high. It was incredible to be down there for it, just to be around it.
Well, as we end this particular season now, a lot of talk about the amazing job that was done by the Saints. A great job by the Sioux City Explorers. We look back on last year when that series is over and thought, you know what, you did everything. Manager George Samus did everything he should have done to win that championship series. The same things he had done all season long just didn't work out for him. So you really can't, you know, turn to that and go, well, he did something wrong, or it was a bad playoffs or whatever. Things just didn't work out for him. And you got to look at Sioux City and feel the same way. There was nothing that manager Steve Montgomery did that I would look at and go, wow, you made a big mistake there, or you blew that. He counted on the guys who had got him there. They had done it all season long. They just didn't work out for him. And it's disappointing for them, but you know, it's a situation where you got to take your hats off to them, because it just, you know, it just didn't work out, but they played great baseball.
Yeah, they did. Just to, you know, they had to play their butts off just to even get into the playoffs, to beat out a really good team with Cleburne. So, yeah, it was a great year for the Explorers. People down there are going to question trading Michael Lang, and well, you know, you want to look at the Michael Lang angle. Look at last year, where the drop ball in right field may have led to the demise of the Explorers in 2018. Lang gets traded to St. Paul, and now Lang's going to get a ring. But, yeah, down there, I think you might have some of the hardcore fans questioning that move. Though, you know, Jeremy Hazelbaker had a huge hit last night with a 3-run homer, and he got better down there as the year went on. So he was a good player for them, but people are going to see past that and think, oh, why didn't you keep Lang? But like you said, the Explorers are right there. Just I think if they lacked one thing, it was production at the bottom of the order.
I agree with you. I really think that was the difference in this series to me more than anything else. Was the fact that there was not a single player in that Saints lineup that did not produce somehow or another. The same thing cannot be said about Sioux City. I think that is what made this a very difficult matchup for the Explorers, is that Chris Baker had big hits, okay? And Chesney Young obviously had big hits, and Blake Schmidt had big hits in the series. It was everybody in this lineup was getting on base at some point during key points in ball games. And that could not be said about the Explorers, as Adam Sasser and Sebastian Zawada, guys like that, were not really producing at the bottom of the order, which was a problem. I mean, Steve Montgomery recognized that coming into the series, and it just became the Achilles heel to this team, and that's why they lost, I thought.
Yeah, I just thought there was just a little lack of punch in that lineup. And when you look at your average lineup, first base and DH are spots that you want to get power RBIs and batting average out of. And Adam Sasser at first base and Dexter McCall at DH, it just didn't really strike fear in opposing pitchers. And I just wonder if maybe those were some spots that needed to get addressed before the trade deadline.
I think that was, kind of a tough situation. I from what I understand, and you've been around this league a little bit, a lot longer than I have. Sioux City's kind of an unpredictable ballpark to try to build a team in, because of the winds and the way that the stadium is built and things there. And so, a guy who might hit 25 homers or 20 homers in Double A somewhere, it might really struggle in a ballpark like that because you just never know what the field conditions are going to be like from game to game. And so I do get that it's a little bit more challenging to build your lineup, but you got to have at least somebody in that DH spot that's hitting, 300 and scoring 55 runs or driving in 55 runs or something for you. And I'm sure that's something that manager Steve Montgomery will be addressing for next season. He's learning out of this, and I think that that's going to be a really tough team next year.
Yeah, what does that say? That does not kill me, makes me stronger. Well, these last 2 years to make Montgomery one of the stronger managers around. And yeah, I have no question he'll develop another solid ball club for next season.
The difference I felt in him this year and what I think will be different for next year is I think after that 2015 season when they lost to Laredo in the championship series, and it took him, 8, 9 months to really brush that off. I mean, it was like, man, we should have rolled through these playoffs. We should have rolled through Laredo. We got beaten by Brebbia, John Brebbia there. And they were probably thinking, man, we should have won this series. We really should have won this series. But I thought last year he came out of that 71 season and the disappointment of that and really put together something solid. And I think next year this is he's going to be even more committed and not sulking that at all. So Sioux City is going to be a real danger next year as well, I think, Kevin.
I don't think their ball club this year was as talented as their team in 2018, but what the ball club did was they had an uncanny ability to fight through adversity. When you look at the start that Sioux City had in 2019, we were a lot of us are starting to wonder by June 1st, well, maybe this just isn't their year. I think, what were they, 2-9 at one time?
Yeah.
A lot of us are thinking, well, maybe this team just doesn't have it this year, but the character that those players showed to be in first place at going into the last week of the season, it just goes to show you that, it was a good year managing for Steve Montgomery also. You throw him in the mix for Manager of the Year, which I felt like there were a good five or six candidates for.
I think so too, and I think, if you looked at that team too, from this last season, Nate Sampson is the only guy who really leapt out at me as, a big name. I mean, Jose Sermo is obviously a big name coming off an MVP season, but he didn't have a particularly huge year for Sioux City this season. Dylan Kelly played well. Okay, but you had one guy hit over 300 on a team last year. I think they had seven guys that hit over 300. So it was not a huge offensive team. There was not anybody that you from the pitching staff that you go, wow, that guy should have been the top pitcher in the league. I think what Vernia won 13 or 14 last season, I think. They had a lot of guys that you thought, wow, these are names that people recognize throughout the league. There was just one guy this season. Still want to finish second in the division. I thought, this team was a gutsy performing squad all season long.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen if Pete Toggle was there from the beginning of the season. I would have liked to have seen what kind of numbers he could have racked up because I think he would have seen him in the double-digit win club. He was a really nice pickup for Sioux City at midway through the season. And yeah, a guy like Eric Karch, going from closer to a starter, it was a pretty rough stretch for him during the season too, but he had a couple of really good starts late in the year before scuffing in game one. Taylor
I think,
Jordan
go ahead.
Struggled. Taylor Jordan just didn't have it as well as he had it going in 2018, but, you know, he had his flashes of brilliance also, so it was an interesting year for the rotation. Can't forget about Carlos Sierra, too.
And then Jason Garcia, too, Kevin. That's another one to consider. As much as the Saints lost Max Murphy, who was probably the MVP, Jason Garcia might have been the pitcher of the year when he was 8-1 before signing. So, some big losses out there in Sioux City, but they managed to muddle through those things and get themselves to the championship series. So, got to pat them on the back for that.
Yeah, there are 10 other teams that would have rather, that would have loved to have been in Sioux City's spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Kevin, as we look forward to next season a little bit, let's talk about, you got to figure that Brady Shoemaker might be close to retiring. I know he was kind of, I think he's 32 this season. I don't know if this is close to an end for him, but that might be a possibility. You have some guys out there that are reaching towards their 30s that we could see 6-7 guys from that St. Paul Saints team that aren't playing baseball next year. So, it's going to be an interesting squad for next season.
Yes, it should. I think though when you win a championship, I think it puts Songer and some guys who want to keep on playing and try to get another ring once they've had a taste of it. But as we've seen in independent baseball, there's generally is a lot of turnover. We saw with the Kansas City T-Bones where they did not I think maybe there was like a handful of guys that were back from the season before.
I think four or five at most. So you're right on that.
You see, that's a tough thing about independent baseball. You really can't get, other than, you know, your Brady Shoemakers, your Michael Langs, you just can't get connected to these guys because you know that more than likely they're going to be gone after a year or two, and then there's a whole new cast of characters. But with St. Paul, I know a friend of mine talked to Michael Lang last night, and, you know, I think a lot of us thought the consensus was he was going to retire soon, but he talked to Lang last night, and Lang talks about how much he enjoys playing in St. Paul, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lang is back in the Saints outfield next year. You have to wonder if guys might get a look in spring training with MLB teams next year, like get a minor league deal like Dan Moldo or
Ryan Zimmerman.
Or Karch Kowalczyk, Tanner Kieft. So it'll be an interesting offseason. We'll see how many guys are back to defend the title. Brady Shoemaker, he's been in a baseball for 3 years, I guess. It's just a matter of do you want to move on to the next chapter or they want to still play baseball in the summer, so it'll be interesting to see his shoes back.
Well, before we close out the championship series here, Kevin Lukow's final thoughts on the 2019 St. Paul Saints.
You know, I'd say I'm trying to figure out the way to put it. I know there's a cliche, but sometimes it's the chemistry of a ball club is greater than the actual quality of its parts. You look at the Saints team on paper, it just didn't wow you. But this run they went on in August where I was looking at that too. They lost three games of their last 20,
yep.
Was it?
Yep, they were 17-3 in their last 20.
You know, when I saw that line, I just thought, well, how are they going to lose three in a row to Sioux City when they've only lost three in their last 20? So, but I just kept thinking, okay, is there going to be any time when the Cinderella story ends? And then the end came in the form of a championship. And I tell you what, for people like myself and a lot of my friends that I see at the ballpark every night, it was just a feeling of relief, exhilaration, and disbelief that finally there's going to be another championship flag in St. Paul. And tell you what, this one's just as sweet as the other four. You know, when they won in 2004, the line kept being everywhere. Okay, one for the thumb, one for the thumb, drive for five. And boy, every year it was disappointment. But, you know, no one talked about the drive for five or one for the thumb this year. And, well, we got it now. So happy for the organization from the top all the way from the front office, all the way down to the players, all the way down to the support staff, all the way down to the ushertainers, and, of course, the top fan base in all of independent baseball.
Well, it truly was a spectacular season, and one that we will look back on and say, this truly was a team of destiny. Heading into the playoffs, that was kind of a story, is that they were never out of games. They always figured out a way to win, and they proved themselves to be that team of destiny this year. So congratulations to the 2019 St. Paul Saints as American Association champions. Kevin and I will join you later this week as we will do a recap of the entire season, looking at each of the teams and what we expect for next year, plus talking about other championships around the independent baseball. So for Kevin Lucco, I am Rob Panier, and we will see you later on in this week on This Week in the Association.